Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. Okay, so every time when I'm talking to another mom and I share that I'm an SMC or I'm a solo parent or I'm doing this by myself, the looks that they give is just like, oh, so pity. Like, you're so strong. You're so courageous. And it must be, the implication is that it must be so hard. And in my mind, I always say, parenting in general is hard. Parenting in a relationship is hard. Parenting as a solo parent is hard. Every day we choose our hard. And as an SMC, we choose this hard. We've come to this path. We've unpacked a lot of the things that is needed to go further in on this journey. And every day we wake up, we choose this hard every day. My hard is possibly a lack of sleep or lack of meal ideas or trying to figure out, do I change jobs or do I stay? That's the hard that I choose every day. And this is coming from the perspective of someone who is divorced. While I did not have children during my marriage, I got to experience what a particular hard would have been to try to negotiate raising children and bringing children into the marriage. So that's what choose your hard means for me. We say that this path is not for everybody, right? We have continuously to balance the scales that it's not just all rainbows and sunshine, right? And so this kind of gets at the heart of what that means because we don't really unpack that. So we wanted to unpack it just a little bit here. So starting with the cons, go ahead. I had already set aside the traditional path, right? I had been married. I had been a rules girl. In my mind, there was a right way to do things. And I think all of that went out the window when I took the bold step to get a divorce. And once I did that, the veil had been removed, right? I know that I'm not really trying to get married ever again. So I had gone through dating and still hoping to find a partner in parenting. But then once that panned out and I saw that it was just wash, rinse, repeat, the same patterns just repeating themselves, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I think I also was at a point in my life where I was looking toward the end and asking for the path of least regret. And I had already experienced relationships, had already experienced marriage. So the next thing I wanted for myself personally was to experience being a mom. I had always wanted to be a mom. So I was not going to let other people's opinions of what I should be doing no longer factored into the priority of where I saw my life going. And so for me, I had already set respectability politics aside, and I still do. Now, to that extent, I am human. So when I go to things like back to school night, I'm not sure if they had childcare on site. I think that's supposed to be a meeting just for parents, but I had my two girls with me and the three-year-old wanted snacks. So we got unraveling the snacks and she's just like, mommy, I want the phone. So she's just like talking and projecting and I'm sitting there and the teachers are presenting. Parents are looking at me. I'm like, kids are doing what kids do. So to the extent that I'm human, I do feel more seen when I walk into those rooms that are more traditional settings, less inclusive in terms of different family types. And but yeah, I'm seen and it's at the end of the day, I'm tired. I'm trying to make that leap to be there for my kid because it really should be about the kids and not the adults who are looking at you like, why is your kid doing kid stuff? Because my kid's a kid, right? But also as an SMC, one of the things I set aside in the pandemic is that I will roll out the house looking the way I look, because one, my kid is not going to look back and be like, mommy looked a bit disheveled when she showed up at my play. He's going to say, my mommy showed up at my play. And so I'm just trying to make all the things, right? And so when someone's looking at you, when you know that you're presenting less than your best, but you showed up, and you're trying to corral people who are doing the things that they're supposed to do. And people are looking at you like they don't have kids and it's not a school. And so it's just like at that point, you feel very seen, but, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
And depending on your SMC situation, you will decide, I need to move across country either to be closer to family or to be in a more inclusive community. And it was one of the decisions I made to move to this area. I was very intentional about wanting to be around a diverse single mothers by choice community for my child to grow up in and regularly see children of SMCs to hear the stories of, I used a donor, my mom used a donor, my bio dad is XYZ, have you seen the donor profile? And so I think some people are physically moving, some people are having to reevaluate some friendships, some people are having to reevaluate the school systems they send their kids to. So it is really, yeah. I think SMCs who came before us, like the generation before us, did not have a pandemic. I think we were SMCs and then the pandemic hit. And then we have people who are coming to this journey in a post-pandemic reality. And so I think that really does shift things when we talk about soul responsibility, you know, soul financial responsibility, right? Because for many of us, part of what makes this path possible is having quality childcare. And because I have quality childcare, I can go to work and be functional and good at my job. The pandemic caused all of that to fall through. And so many SMCs, I know I had two children at the time, so was really caught off guard because you cannot plan for a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I found myself having to both be the primary caregiver and the sole earner and worker in the household at the same time. And so that stress almost broke me. And I had to end up reaching out in ways that I never really anticipated. I had to be very transparent with work. I had to be very transparent with family. I had to be very transparent with friends because there were things I was no longer able to do for the better part of a year, not picking up the phone, not responding to texts because I was in survival mode. And so all of that weighs on us each day. Don't like your job, just quit because there's a second income. We can't do that. Don't like your job, suck it up, buttercup. And let's tick those boxes off, because up until the point where you begin fertility treatments, you're like any other singleton out there in the world, right? But the moment you decide to move this path, let's tick the boxes. You have to purchase sperm, which now costs about $1,000. You have to pick a clinic. IUI costs about $1,500, right? IVF is $10,000 to $15,000. And then you go through the procedures, then you have maternity leave. We're in America. Maternity leave is not guaranteed. So some of us are paying for full maternity leave, right? And then there are the diapers, the formula, the milk, the pumps, the food. And then there's childcare, which is a huge chunk of somebody's income. And I think here in our region of the country, it can range from $1,800 to $2,200. So when we talk about soul financial responsibility, it's all of that. And that's just within the first year of life.
SMC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Soul decision maker. I think we were talking this morning, like I had a cap that fell off my tooth and I have to now figure out how to fit an impromptu dentist appointment into my busy schedule, right? And doctor's appointments, all of these different appointments are coming up and they're all times three, right? Mm-hmm. And so who's the sole manager of the family calendar? That would be me. So if any balls get dropped, it falls on me. I remember one year I forgot that I thought my kid had a school holiday and it was not a holiday. And so the school called me and was like, oh, your child was absent today. Today was a school day. And my daughter reminds me that happened. And so we're human and having to make these decisions, like you don't only think in the moment. You're thinking 2-3 years down the line about how this one decision is going to impact your family down the line. And it does sometimes keep you up at night because it is a lot of mental gymnastics, just thinking about the different levels of detail. And so, yeah, you would want somebody who's invested, who's going to be part of that day to day and living that decision right along with you. And it doesn't always happen. So it is just you. And yeah, so that can be a heavy. And I would probably say, if you know in yourself that you're one of these people who like to crowdsource your decisions, I would say start with a list of priorities. What's important to you? Because as much as I am a planner, I do hit those points where there are times where there are decisions that are just more challenging than others. And I go back to what is my list of priorities. And then I use that as my guiding force. So if it is right now is to save money, if it's to do what is child-centered, is it family first? And then you just use that as part of your decision-making matrix. And then, so even if you are someone who has trouble with decisions, preemptively create a structure that will help you make decisions down the line. Don't get any of us wrong. We do think that the male influence on children is important. For me, it's something that I know going in that I'm going to need ways to find ways to fill the gaps. And so that means talking to the men that you trust that are in your lives and saying, hey, so-and-so has this question. I can't answer it. Can you answer it? So do work toward building trusted adult relationships where you feel safe, making sure your child has access to a male teacher or a male dentist, or just knowing going in that there are going to be some gaps that will need to be filled can help you to proactively choose how you go about building your village at particular points in your life. So my daughter is 8, and so she's just starting to get into the social dynamics of being a child and growing into the tween stages where children do talk a lot about their family and home structure and what they do on the holidays and vacations. And inevitably you get the family dynamics where they talk about their dads and who shows up. And so my daughter asked me this just this week, she said, oh, that's so, and she has a mom and a dad. And she hops in the car, puts on her seatbelt. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so you brought that up. Does it matter to you? How do you feel about that? And she's just like, yeah, no, I was just saying it because we had a field trip and mom or dad could come and both her parents came. And so that was it. So I'm always looking for opportunities to expand on that conversation. One, to check to see if this is the point where I need to dig into my mailbag and pull out one of the mails and say, hey, let's revisit this conversation. Or is it something that I wait until she gets to the point where she has a feeling one way or the other about it? So it's just something that is on your radar. People grow up in households where there's not a dad present all the time, but manage to still grow into functional, capable, positive adults. I think one of my number one pros is that I am in control of my home environment. I can create as peaceful an environment as I want. And for me, when I think of home and when I think of homecoming and homegoings, it should be a place where you feel your most natural, your most authentic, and it is a place of peace. There's not arguments, there's not tension. And when I say not arguments, we argue all the time within our home, but we know that the foundation is love, respect, peace, and joy. And so for me, it was really important. When I was married, I could see that was going to be really hard to pull off in my married life. And that sat with me and it caused a lot of internal tension for me. I didn't know how we could overcome that. And so when I went into being a parent, I really thought about the type of home environment I wanted to create for my kids. I wanted it to be safe and peaceful and a joyous place. And I have been able to accomplish that. And I love coming home. I love picking up my kids at the end of the day. I love welcoming them home. And yeah, it's an overhead of baggage that I think you carry because you've got two people and you're only in control of one of those people. And you need both to give equally into the household, into raising the children. And it is rare that you're in alignment on all things. And yeah, I don't want to have to expect you to do X, Y, Z, and you come at 50%, or I come at 50%, but I know in my heart I'm giving my best, but it is still 50% based on how the other person perceives it. And so that is just a bone of contention. And then at the end of the night, I have to turn around and be intimate with you as part of my duties at that point, because it's not pleasure for me. It is a duty for me because I don't want to do it. There's all of these undercurrents of tension that can be at play, and it's adult tension, which impacts the kids and impacts the household. And so I don't have that tension at the point that I'm giving birth at the hospital. I don't want to have to manage other people's emotions. When I come home from work and I've had a tough day, I don't want to have to also deal with you having a tough day, and society says that your feelings take precedence over mine. So I have to either eat my feelings, drink my feelings, or whatever I need to do to cope with those feelings. Yeah. I don't want to do that. If I think I need to see a therapist, I'm going to book an appointment with a therapist. And if I think the other adults in my household need to see a therapist, guess what? I'm the only adult. So we're all going, all the personalities are seeing a therapist. I am allowed to separate the two, and I can be my best in both situations, because I know when I am choosing to be with a romantic partner, I am there with that romantic partner 100%, because the kids are with a sitter. And when I'm with my kids, I'm focused on my kids 100% because I have chosen the S&C path. I think it works for me and how I work on a social emotional level as well. Do that assessment of yourself. And yeah, that's all I got. Well, Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.